Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
And a warm welcome to Dr. Eamon. How are you today, Eamon?
Deirdre, how are you doing, Crother? I'm grand indeed.
Good stuff, glad to hear it. Eamon, I suggested to you this week, and you kindly agreed, that we might talk a bit about blood results and blood tests, because we've got a lot of general queries in the last few months from people who've had blood test results and they don't seem to know why they were taken in the first place and how to interpret them when they come back. So, first of all, could you tell us, why would a doctor say, I'll run bloods on you?
Good question. Yeah, this is a complex subject, and I've been really thinking hard about this over the last 24 hours because there are a number of complex concepts that I'm going to try and get across in the next few minutes. I think the thing is that first we have to understand that all tests carry with them margins of error. People will get results to the second decimal point, which is ridiculous because there are margins of error for many tests, and in fact for all blood tests, of probably something order of 10 to 15%, which means that if you do the same test on the same person twice in the same day, you may well get very different readings, or at least somewhat different readings. So the thing is that's the first thing I was going to say. The second thing is that it's all about interpretation, and it's very much about context. And I suppose one of the things I've been thinking about myself over the last couple of years is if I am going to order tests for people, why am I doing them? I will order tests if there is a possibility that the test is going to make a change to the way in which that person either lives their life or the way in which I treat them. And that's really the reason why blood tests should be done. It's if they're going to bring about a change. And I suppose finally what I'd say is that I divide blood tests into what I call monitoring blood tests and acute blood tests. So monitoring blood tests are where people have ongoing medical conditions where they require regular blood testing to make sure that everything is working for them. And then I suppose opportunistic blood tests where somebody has a symptom and we're trying to work out, well, what is the cause of this thing? And maybe a blood test might help tell us what it is that's going on.
Okay, so let's say somebody who feels fine but just wants to get a checkup, and maybe a middle-aged or older person, they just go in, they get the doctor does their pulse and their blood pressure, and the doctor just runs routine bloods. What kind of stuff that comes back might say to the doctor, oh, hold on, there's something going on here?
Yeah, you see, this is the point. I think we need to straight away start changing the language, because there isn't really any such thing as a routine blood test. All blood tests need to be done in a context. And I think first and foremost, as family doctors, and that's really critically important, we need to look at the family history, because the family history will give us a guide as to what it is that might be wrong with the person. The problem is there are potentially hundreds of blood tests that could be done, and there are many blood tests that I can order, but there are lots of them that are of no relevance whatsoever. So it's very much focused on the individual and their particular circumstances. So, for example, if somebody has a history of heart disease or premature heart disease, then clearly you'll want to look at what their cholesterol is like. If there is a family history of prostate cancer in the man's family, you might want to do a prostate blood test. So it's all about context. I think the other thing too that we need to get away from is the idea that, you know, you get your blood test done year in, year out. The reality is that in the vast majority of cases, blood tests really don't change from year to year unless the person develops a symptom, and that's really, really important. Like, for example, I do a set of blood tests for somebody today and they have no other symptoms and they're very well otherwise. The likelihood is that there probably won't be any change in the blood test for at least 5 years. For example, cholesterol levels probably rise by about 0.5% to 1% per year throughout her life. The margin of error for the cholesterol blood test is about plus or minus 10 to 15%. So the thing is that if you get your blood test, if your cholesterol is checked today, you really don't need to have it checked again for another 5 years or so. So again, it's all about context, and it's not just the context in doing the blood test, but it is in the context of interpreting the results afterwards. That's part of the reason why when people send off blood tests for themselves, the laboratory will do the report, but there's no context.
So let's say your doctor tells you your bloods are all back and they're all good. Is that a rubber stamp? Is that a guarantee that there's nothing seriously wrong with you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It is a good guide, and the likelihood is that the person is okay, but you know the old cliche, there's no such thing in life as ever, and there's no such thing in life as never. And so the problem is that, yes, the blood test will give an idea. Okay, there are indications. Say, for example, somebody had their blood count checked 5 years ago, and you have it checked again now, and your blood count has fallen substantially. It is an indication there might be something going on. Equally, if somebody's blood count is the same today as it was 5 years ago, the chances are that there isn't anything bad going on, but that's it. It can't be anything stronger than that. You see, I think the problem is that there is a precision being expected of the results of blood tests that doesn't really exist in reality.
Okay, I got you. You see, I think a lot of people are probably, they probably think that, you know, if there's anything seriously wrong with me, it'll show up in my bloods. But you're saying that's not necessarily true.
No, I mean, I certainly had the experience through my career of seeing people who are biochemically well in themselves, where there wasn't any apparent problems in their blood tests, and they're dead within a year. Again, the problem is that blood tests tend to be reactive. In other words, they react to things that are happening. They have some predictive values. So, for example, if somebody's blood sugars are gradually rising, that could be a prediction that they might have diabetes in the future. But for the most part, they're reactive. And therefore, it goes back to what you said earlier on. The blood test, all it does, it says a snapshot at a point in time. Right now, this minute, all we can say to you is that your blood tests appear to be okay. And if you're okay yourself, then the chances are that you're okay. And it's a reasonably good assumption to say that you are okay, but it's not a guarantee.
Okay. Now, let's say a person goes to a doctor and they're not feeling right at all. There's just something wrong with them. Yeah. And the doctor can't quite pinpoint it from the symptoms. Would bloods come into play there and being able to point the doctor
absolutely
in the right direction?
That's exactly the point. And then what you're doing is you're looking for the appropriate investigations. Now, and again, I'd make the distinction between people who are very well otherwise and the person who has a symptom. And if somebody has a symptom, to a large measure, it doesn't matter what the symptom is, but if the person is unwell, then dependent on the person's symptoms, there are appropriate investigations, appropriate blood tests that can be done. Like, you know, while I put it, there are examples I can't think of off the top of my head, but there are examples of blood tests that are just irrelevant in some individuals. So, for example, there's no point checking serum testosterone in most women. Exceptionally rarely you can have raised testosterone levels in women and estrogen levels in men, but that's the gross exception to the rule. What you'd be doing is, so for me as a GP, if I see somebody's coming into me, they've got tiredness or any particular symptom, based on that I will then make a judgment as to what are the investigations that I think are most likely to provide me with information which will help me to manage the person's problem or help me to help them to manage their problem.
Okay, so the doctor can tailor the blood tests to the patient.
That's absolutely. So the point I'm making is there is no such thing as routine blood tests. There are blood tests that are tailored to the individual's particular circumstances, to their family history, and to how they are at the point in time that the blood tests are being done.
Hmm. I think as well, and I don't mean to be critical of the medical profession, but I'm just gauging from the amount of questions we get that people get their blood tests back, but they never get them properly explained to them by their GP what they actually mean.
And you're absolutely right, and that's a very valid criticism. And I think that it'd be far more honest if we were doing less blood tests and spending more time explaining to people what the investigations mean than just willy-nilly doing blood tests. It's, in one sense, it's very easy to do blood tests. If you talk to the laboratories, they will tell you that the volume of blood tests that is going up exponentially. There are vast numbers of blood tests being done, the vast majority of which are absolutely normal. So it's very easy to order blood tests, but for me personally, and I'm speaking for myself, if I'm ordering a blood test, there has to be a reason for it. And part of it is I need to follow through with the person and talk to them afterwards and explain what the result is. People who come to our practice will know we tell them they must ring us 2 weeks afterwards for the results of their blood tests. I have a book in front of me here. I've got people who had blood tests done 3 and 4 months ago and they've never bothered to contact me, and I will remind them, but that's part of the follow-up and that takes time as well.
Okay, some questions in already on this, Eamon. A listener says, this is Eileen, she says, could you ask the doctor, is once a year enough for people in their 60s to do blood tests?
It's too often. It's too often. It's too often. In the vast majority of cases, if somebody is well otherwise, now this is critically important, as long as somebody is well otherwise, once in 5 years is probably adequate. It's a completely different scenario if the person develops a symptom of some sort, or if they're being monitored for some underlying condition. That's a very different kettle of fish, and there are different intervals. So, for example, for somebody with diabetes, it might be once or twice a year that they need to have specific blood tests done. For people who have got rheumatoid arthritis, they may need to have blood testing done every 3 months. But for somebody who's perfectly well otherwise, because the blood tests really don't change over a couple of years, 3 to 5 years is quite adequate.
Okay. Listener says, can you ask Eamon, is 6.5 high cholesterol for a 70-year-old woman? And can I bring it down with medication?
Yeah, so, okay, this is the one that we hear time and time again. It's all about context, and I've been talking about this for quite a long time at this stage. Do not please talk to me about a single figure. That single figure by in itself, by the way, is only a single snapshot in time, and there's a margin of error in that. It's what is your lipid readings over a period of time. The only way, really and truthfully, if you're making a beast of yourself, is to use the vernacular, and if you're completely done the dog in terms of diet and really horrendous, horrible diet full of fatty substances, you could well drive your cholesterol up. If people are taking a normal diet, and most people, to be fair, today are getting better about their diet, there probably aren't too many dietary manipulations that are going to make a difference to that. If you need to take an appropriate medication, if you take the appropriate medication, which in fact is what they call a statin, then the thing is that there is a discussion that needs to happen. If you need to take the statin, then you take the statin. I suppose part of the thing is that what we're looking at here is that if somebody has had a heart attack, there is undoubtedly benefit to them taking a cholesterol-lowering medication. Interestingly, for people who have not had a heart attack and no family history otherwise, about 100 people would have to take a statin to prevent a heart attack in one person. It's a concept called the numbers needed to treat. So the thing is that you really have to look at this thing in the round. What's the family history? Are you a smoker? Are you a diabetic? Have you a previous history of heart disease? Have you got kidney disease? Etc., etc. So single figures in and of themselves are actually irrelevant, and that figure needs to be put in the context of everything else that's going on about the person. There is a publicly accessible resource called qrisk.org, qrisk.org, and anybody can go to the website, put in the figures there, which includes things like your height and your weight and your blood pressure and so on and so forth, and they will give you figures for what your risk of an event are in the next 10 years. But again, it's all about risk. These are figures that are derived for large groups of people and are very accurate for large groups of people, thousands or tens of thousands of people, but it may not be such a huge guide or help to the individual.
Okay, well, at this point, I think we'll take a break, Eamon. There's lots of questions for you, and I just want to put it out there to the listeners. If you have any questions about blood tests specifically, about why you get your bloods, what your results mean, anything like that, we'll prioritise those questions, but we will take other general queries as well if we have time. Again, to text us or WhatsApp, it's 083-300-3300. And if you prefer to call us, Brenda's on the phones today on 066-712-3666. 16 minutes past two, we're back in a
Medical Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Bonsecours Hospital, Tralee. Celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
Welcome back. We're with Dr. Eamon Shanahan. We're talking about blood tests and the blood... I was going to say routine blood test, but Eamon tells me there's no such thing as routine blood test. But the blood test that your doctors may order for you from the lab and what they mean. Eamon, here's the question on that. It's from a female listener. She says, if a female has recurring UTIs, that's urinary tract infections, should she have a blood test done for bladder cancer?
It's probably more, you see, that's the problem. There is no such thing as a blood test for bladder cancer. That's the problem. And there is, and unfortunately, there is the notion abroad that you can do a blood test for anything, and the answer is there isn't. In truth, the only way you can detect whether somebody has a bladder cancer or not is by doing a procedure called a cystoscopy, where you actually look inside the bladder. There are non-specific blood tests. So, for example, there is two very simple tests, one that the GPs can do themselves, called an ESR, another one the laboratory to laboratory can do called a C-reactive protein, which are just a general measure of inflammation. And if the readings are raised, it indicates that there is inflammation in some part of the body, but it doesn't tell us what kind of inflammation it is. If a woman is having recurring urinary tract infections, it may very well be that she'll almost certainly need to be referred to a gynecologist or a urogynecologist, and she'll probably end up having to have an examination of the bladder. Actually, funny enough, and again, it's an abused investigation, but the sending a sample of urine to the laboratory can be helpful, because what the microbiologist will do is they'll look at the urine sample and they'll see if there's any unusual cells in the urine specimen, and that might give an indication. But definitively, the only way you can diagnose bladder cancer is by way of a cystoscopy and examination of the bladder itself.
A listener wants to ask you, will a B12 deficiency show up in a blood test?
Yeah, B12 deficiencies are both over and under diagnosed. I think first and foremost, people, if somebody has tiredness, probably the most universally administered blood test is a thing called a full blood count. And a full blood count means literally that. It means not just looking at the amount of hemoglobin or the substance that carries oxygen around your bloodstream. Yeah, how much is that, and also your vessel count. But it also looks at the size and the shape of the blood cells themselves and how much hemoglobin they carry. And if somebody is deficient in B12, or indeed if they're deficient in the other vitamin folic acid, then they will get a condition called a macrocytosis, which is a rise in the size of the blood cells, and that's an indication that they may be deficient in B12. And then you can go and do the B12 blood test. I know, speaking to my colleagues in the hospital, they were concerned, because at one stage there were vast numbers. There was something like five times as many B12 blood tests being requested in Tralee as there was in pretty well every other laboratory in the country, and there's no clinical reason for it. So they've asked us to sort of say, you're doing the B12 blood test, why? What's the justification for doing the B12 blood test? And that's very appropriate. B12 blood tests are useful, and if somebody has a genuine deficiency, then you'll be looking for, is there an underlying cause? Rarely there is a condition called pernicious anemia can cause it. Some people are just deficient in B12, and there is a very simple treatment for it. But again, it's a question of the appropriate use of what is actually a limited and a finite resource.
Now, Maria was in touch. Her dad is 82. His GP is repeating bloods because his white cells and urea are elevated. What does that mean, and what could it be?
Well, you see, again, I think that's appropriate, because what you're looking at there is that if somebody has abnormal investigations, probably the first thing you need to do is repeat the investigations because of the margin of error. The other thing you want to look at as well, too, is there a trend? Is the white cell count just a one-off thing, or is there actually a trend there? Same thing if somebody's blood count was falling, or their urea, which is a measure of kidney function, is that rising? So you can, and it is actually useful to graph out the blood tests, as most of the practice management software does, that you can actually see trends, and the trends will give us another piece of information. In and of themselves, while there are a few tests that are diagnostic on the spot, so if somebody has a blood glucose of 20, they probably are diabetic. But many blood tests, it's an indication, and so if there's a trend, give an idea what might be coming down the line, and then in that case, take the appropriate measures and steps to try and help mitigate the problem.
Now, we'll come on to a few that are not in relation to blood tests, Eamon, a few general queries. A listener says, will you ask Dr. Shanahan if he would recommend a person in their 60s to get the shingles vaccine?
Really good question. And I think, yes, the answer is yes. And I think that's something we need to be looking at more and more. So two elements to this. Earlier this morning, I had a mum on to me, and her poor child is destroyed with chickenpox. There was a sore mouth and a sore bottom. And then later in the morning, I had a lovely, lovely lady in to me who's got a shingles. And they're both caused by the same virus. In the ideal world, we would be following the American model. And as you know, I'm very passionate about immunization. And I think we need to be moving to a national immunization program for chickenpox, not to protect children from chickenpox, but to protect adults from shingles. And that's the reason why we should be getting it. For people in their 60s, they already have the virus in their system. Giving them a vaccination will boost their immunity. Unfortunately, it's not a guarantee that they won't get shingles, but it will reduce the risk.
Now, Jane is in her 40s. She uses vitamin B6 and waterfall tablets to treat water retention recently. It went away after about a week. She stopped taking them now. She thinks this might be connected to her period and is wondering, should she take them every month?
Again, for the most part, vitamins, unless there are a handful of vitamins, D is one of them, K is another. There are a number of vitamins where you can get toxic levels, you can actually poison yourself with vitamins, but most vitamins, it's unlikely you're going to poison yourself. Look, it's like everything else. If you feel it's a benefit to you, by all means, doing it, you're not going to do yourself any harm.
Back to bloods again. A listener says, I'm on Prolia injections and my doctor insists I have bloods taken before the next Prolia injection every 6 months. Is this normal?
Absolutely. It's an absolute requirement. The reason being that if you don't have enough calcium in your system, you take the injection, it may actually bring on a fracture rather than preventing the fracture. So yes, that's one of those situations where you must do the blood test before you have the injection. There are a couple of things. For example, people who are on there are a variety of drugs that people are on that require monitoring. And for example, a lot of the drugs that are used to treat rheumatoid arthritis and are very well tolerated and many people can cause a drop in people's white cell counts and can have liver damage and kidney damage. And so these are conditions where the person needs to have their blood test done regularly to make sure that any harm isn't happening to them because of the drugs they're taking.
Listener says she is 69. She had her bloods done recently and was told she had protein in her blood and must repeat it in 6 months. What does that mean?
Yeah, okay. So it might be something, it might be nothing. And again, like everything else, you do repeat after a couple of months to see what's going on. There are a number of conditions that you will see in older people, they're so-called paraproteins, and it's a condition where their marrow is producing too much protein. And in a very, very, very tiny number of cases, that condition may convert into something more serious. If you have a hernia that's causing you symptoms, you really need to have that sorted out, and the only way to sort it out is have a surgical procedure, and your GP would refer you to a surgeon to get that done.
Okay, very good. Well, Eamon, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for answering all those queries and I think giving us some clarity on the whole area of blood tests and what they're for and what they mean and all of that. And we'll chat to you again next week.